reading. Bye now.
It's the Vulture's Nest. Good morning. You are on 2SER 107.3. Thank you to Andrew Popel for another fine final draft. I am Sean Morahan, and joining me in the nest this morning are my nesty guests, Tarina Taite. Welcome, T.
Morning.
And David Polterak. G'day, David.
G'day, Sean.
Great to have you here. Each week here in the Vulture's Nest, we catch some of the slow-moving, unusual news of the week, and we speed it up a little bit to share with you in the half hour we have together. There's been something spreading swiftly across Australia recently, and this is in the news this week. And although most of us are being sensible about it, there are some people who are completely losing their minds about it. Its effects may be exaggerated for some people, and in their minds it represents some sort of personal threat to them and the world that they live in, and they're taking extreme measures as a result of this. It has hundreds of people completely enraged with fear, and as a result they're posting hateful comments about the people who they think are directly involved. So much so that a major news website has this week stopped people from commenting about it at all. We are, of course, talking about women's AFL. The Herald Sun has shut down the comments section relating to AFLW because they've just been overwhelmed with the number of negative comments, vitriolic comments, hateful comments being posted by people. So the Herald Sun head of sport, Matt Kitchen, said the least offensive of the comments runs to the tune of "get back in the kitchen," and the worst cannot be repeated because they are so objectionable. Players, commentators, fans and clubs have all appealed to the Herald Sun to shut off the comments, and we've heard them. The move comes 2 weeks after Harris, a football player for Carlton, offered to give up her wage in order for the AFL to employ someone to monitor online bullying. T. I'm going to start with you. Well, you play AFL.
Oh, I know. I'm exhausted by this, actually. I mean, it might have been because I've just gone to the gym in order to prepare pre-season for playing AFL.
Round of applause for the pre-season.
I'm tired of it. This is just silly. It's here to stay, you know. Women love footy as much as men, okay? So you will not take that away. Just even if you said, we're not going to put it on TV, we're not going to make it positional, women would still go around and kick the footy ball. They've been doing it forever anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just exhausted by this now. It's a thing. Get over it. Move on.
So let's go back a step. What's the attraction of footy?
You know, see, I'm on about my seventh season now, which really, that's actually quite a good run.
And as a close friend of yours, you keep threatening to me every year, you're going to give it up, and then next year you're back for free season, which actually mirrors my own time playing AFL as well. I think,
this is the last year. Yeah. I'm never going to bother saying
my knees can't take another year of this. Oh, maybe one more year.
Well, the knees are going. I started off simply by kicking the ball back and forward, and then you're like, man, I really like the sport. It's just something about it. It is fun. And then once you start to tackle it really gets fun then. So it's an instant love from probably about 80% of people who pick up the ball and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to your games too and quite a few of them. And I think some of the common things I saw as well that are just like the same as the footy that I played was feeling of being in a team, the camaraderie between the players, the socialising after the game, having a great chat about the game, about who played well and what they did and reliving the stories of the game and, what was outstanding that somebody did during the game.
Yep.
So I think there's that as well. There's this incredible social aspect of it.
Yes.
Which, especially having been through the challenge of a game together, is much better than sitting on the game and analysing what somebody else has done.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, I agree.
David, have you had much exposure to the Great Australian Game?
I've been to one game at the G.
Yeah.
A friend took me along. It was
how far up the back were you sitting?
I was sitting up in the stand, and it was Carlton and somebody else, and it was a long time ago when Carlton was doing well.
Oh yeah.
So place was packed, and what really stunned me was just the kind of exuberance of the spectators, the yelling. I mean, people in suits were just going crazy, hurling abuse at the other team.
Those suit wearers.
Yeah. I mean, that's what really. I mean, I could sort of expect it with guys in beanies and long scarves and shorts, but it was just. I just remember one guy in particular who was in a suit, looked really dapper, and he was just like the worst screamer.
How was Eddie McGuire?
Yeah. look, he's passionate.
He is passionate.
Oh my goodness, he is. This is a little inside story. If you ever get to be on Millionaire Hot Seat, they actually tell you you're not allowed to speak about AFL because Eddie just goes whoosh, and I walked on with a broken finger at that time. And couldn't not come up. So, but they just carefully edited it all out.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He's big.
Did you say they edited it all out, or they edited it all out?
Oh, they edited it all out.
Well, as someone who used to write questions for that show, I can tell you that there was an edict that we couldn't write questions about AFL for the same reason. Because Eddie would just run with it.
Yes.
He'd pick up that ball and he'd be off. He'd be bouncing it every few steps.
Okay.
Oh, so you know a little bit. He almost knows all the rules.
Yeah. Well, I played it 26 years and he sounds like he knows more about it than I do.
Nobody knows all the rules.
Well, they reckon the spectator gets the best view of the game, and we're spectators to all this vitriol. What's going on here, guys?
Yeah. I have to ask. I haven't been to a women's game. Mm. Women's game. Are there, and I can imagine there wouldn't be, so it's possibly a stupid question, but the trolling that happens online in newspapers, which sounds like it's kind of just completely over the top. Do you get any of that sexist stuff at the matches?
I mean,
or will
I'm
they
not,
just be shut down?
Yeah, I'm not at that level, but mostly it's fans. So I can't imagine people are standing there going. The people that go along are passionate about the game.
Yeah.
It just happens to be that girls are playing it. It doesn't really matter because, you know, the Adelaide, like, that's their team as well. They're equally, and actually probably have been more successful in the last couple of seasons of the AFLW. So, you know, they are their fans. And it's actually what's funny because I had a mate who's a diehard Crows fan, and she finally went along to a game, female game. She goes, "Oh, it's pretty good." I was like, "Yeah, it's actually pretty good." So it's a lot of, I think a lot of people are still curious about it, and then the fans. So I'm sure there's everyone's getting it from someone, but it really is fans that go along. So this is why it's so disappointing. These are people sitting behind a keyboard, behind a computer screen.
One of the, more ignorant criticisms is that it's not at the same level as the men's. It's not therefore not as entertaining. But the men have sort of had 120 years to get their act together.
Yeah.
Do you think women are caught up pretty quick in the whatever it's been? 10 years of, even formally, AFLW has only been what, 5 or 6 years?
Not even that long, no. Not the National League. National League. I think we're only on season 3. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 17. I think.
Started. So yeah, you can't expect that. Also, you can't. These women are working or studying. They're full time working and they're part time athletes. You're putting that against guys. Some of them are on $1 million plus salaries. So there is no, and that even is the same. I can say as a swimmer, someone who had to work versus people that got their swimming paid for full-time and all their allowances and stuff, I was at a disadvantage. So you imagine that on a bigger scale when it's tens of thousands to $1 million. You know, there's no way you can compete. Having said that, what they do on the limited funds and time and season that they have is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And also I think, there is that attention on WAFL, but there are other sports that women have been playing in for much longer.
Yeah.
And yes, there are arguments around the edges of, you know, is it as good? Are they as good? Could they compete against the men? Well, no, they probably couldn't. But there's a lot of appreciation, say, for women's tennis because it's a more interesting game to watch because it isn't just slogging.
Yeah.
The same, you know, with soccer, hockey, you name it. I mean, there's, you know, in all sports, it's like it's silly to even have to kind of justify it.
What I love is the darts champ. Finally, a woman won the darts. Yeah. Finally, that is beautiful because there isn't a lot of like athleticism in there, and it should have been. I'm surprised it's taken this long, actually.
Yeah. I know. I actually have been enjoying catching a few games of the women's cricket.
Oh, yeah.
Because, among other things, you know, there's fewer cheats and bad sports and stuff.
I think there's a glow around Australian women's sport in general, just that it isn't infected with that kind of the sledging, the macho strutting and
the male toxicity.
The male toxicity, yeah. It's just it's a relief to watch a woman's game because it just doesn't have that element to it.
Yeah.
And it's about what they can do.
Yeah.
I mean, you should watch the women's rugby sevens, the women's league. I mean, those girls, I mean, I challenge any average girl off the street to take those girls on. They are tough. They scare me.
Yeah, well, didn't Billie Jean King beat...
Yes.
What's his name all those years ago?
Bobby somebody. Was it Sands?
Bobby Sands was an IRA hunger striker. God, how quickly we've forgotten.
There was a movie made two years ago.
Yeah.
All I know is that Steve Carell played him in the movie.
We might Google that when we go to some music. And trolls generally. Let's take it out of the sport thing. Why do you think?
Well, sorry, I do agree with, and I know we don't want to talk about it too much, but I do agree with people trolling paper-buying people at the moment. I'm happy with that trolling. That's the only one I get behind.
But is that trolling?
Or is that just, this is stupid? I mean, it is, because you are abusing people for, you know, doing something normal. Well, it's not normal, is it? It's very
abnormal. What's the line? Can you make fun of somebody without trolling them, or can you troll somebody?
Well, I don't know if you can.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of toilet paper, I don't think you should be trolling anybody who buys less than 4 packs at once. Got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. It's actually a really good point, Sean. Where is the line? Because, you know, you can be trolled. If you're a passionate Carlton fan and you're trolling Richmond, like that is still trolling though, even though you know.
Yeah.
It's just that level of the animosity, the fierce animosity, and it's not just in relation to women's sport, but trollers in general. Doesn't matter what it could be, immigrants, you know, refugees, people of different races.
Well, let's not forget that Caroline Flack, a couple of weeks ago, took her own life because of what she was getting online as well. So, you know, it's the effect that how much this has effect, and if these girls who are tough girls are asking them to take down the comments, then they must have been nasty.
Because
in the public eye, you will take some of that. That's a given. Not everyone's going to like you, and you're there. You are visual to see.
And if Get Back to the Kitchen is the best of them, then boy.
Well, yeah. So
the mind, you shudder.
And I got to say, I'm bewildered by it. I don't reject the fact that it exists. It obviously does, and it's obviously a huge problem.
Yeah.
But and I think as well, we all come at things, you know, from our own experience. And my experience growing up was my sisters wanted to play sport with us. So when my brother and I and our mates from the neighbourhood, and not just my sisters, the boys and the girls in the neighbourhood, we'd all ride our bikes and play chasings on our bikes together. We'd all go and play cricket together. We'd all kick the footy together. And, you know, sometimes, you know, well, one of my sisters in particular became pretty good at kicking a footy. So you couldn't even take, you know, you couldn't even, well, the equivalent of trolling back there, tease her about her kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was good. And she, you know, had a real passion for sport generally and being active.
Well, it's obviously, it's a coward's refuge. I mean, the anonymity, if it is anonymous, I'm assuming it is, that allows people to vent their deep-seated grudges and prejudices in that way. You just can't, you could not get away with that in any other kind of communication situation.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of blokes see it as part of their identity, their masculine identity, their love of football and their connection to football and their football team? And do you think that they think that that's being diluted if women are playing?
I can't even get into the mind of someone that would think like that. Honestly, I don't understand. These women love this football, if not more than you.
Well, even as
We've
I was
got this mutual thing in common, how can you be?
As I was sort of typing this up for us to discuss last night, when I was Googling and some stuff, I saw that Billy Brownless, who's a former player, he was criticising, you know, saying that women shouldn't. I just saw the headline; I didn't read the story, but this was from it was a story from last year, saying that, you know, women shouldn't be playing AFL. Well, that's what I was asking. Do you think that if we were to try and get into somebody like that's mine, do you think they think it's some sort of assault on their male domain?
It just seems so prehistoric, that idea. It's just such a, it's just feminism's had it since Dot. You know, this threat, men are threatened by the idea of even equality.
But we've you know, we've been playing basketball the same. We've been playing basketball for years. Yeah. You know, that's a very popular sport around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do the Matildas get the same trolling? Or is it just WAFL?
I do remember when the Matildas played a junior, a more junior male team and got beaten like 15-0 or something. There were a lot of people who took tremendous delight in that.
Right.
Whereas the Matildas probably saw it as, okay, here's another opportunity for us to practice our skills and get better.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
they played some guys who were like under 17s or under 19s or something who beat them. But, you know, it wasn't like, well, this is the ultimate battle of the sexes. It was like, here's some opponents who are skilled in the game that we can probably learn from. And I think if you've played sport, that's usually how you get better, by putting yourself up against someone who's better than you.
I used to love racing. So I do freestyle while my ex would do backstroke. Oh, I never wanted to beat anyone more. So I love it when we get to play against the boys, because I find it hard against the girls, but I'm like, yeah, I'd love to anytime. Yeah, look, it's so hard to understand why. Yeah. Really hard.
I guess I was surprised as well because, one, I'm not as involved with AFL as I used to be, and two, even I think it might have been 15 years ago, I went back to my country hometown in South Australia and went and saw my mate's cousin playing footy. And what they did was everybody got to the ground at about 10 a.m. and it was like a sports carnival. And that was just the thing. So the women played netball on courts next to the footy ground.
Yeah.
The blokes went along and supported them because they were, you know, there was the same team. It was the same club.
Mm.
So the same club had netball representation and football representation. And the blokes supported the girls in the netball and the girls supported the guys, the boys in the footy. And so it was an entire day out. Like, people brought their whole family. You know, even the kids watch mum play netball, watch dad play footy, and everybody stayed and had a barbecue and a beer and socialised. And I was going, wow, like, this is great. Like, because, you know, when I grew up in that town, it was the girls did their sport at one end of town and the boys did their sport at the other end of the town, and never the twain shall meet.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's possibly the other reality of it. I think the impact of these trollers is, you know, far outweighs their numbers in society. I'm sure that the vast majority of guys, if they thought about it, just don't have a problem at all with women in sport. It's just not an issue. But there's just there's obviously a very, you know, vocal, we'll call them that, minority. Who knows how many are doing the trolling? It could be half a dozen.
And that's the thing, you just don't know. I mean, maybe they know, but you don't know how you're going to react to how someone says something about you online. And it's also, you know, it's hard to, it can be misconstrued as well. Well, obviously not what they're saying when they're saying get back in the kitchen. But it really, I think it really can have a huge effect on your mental well-being. Someone out there has taken the time to write something vitriol, like something nasty about you. And it's hard to go, well, that it does hurt. I think it's, you can build up a strength, but some things just, you see all the famous people, it gets through sometimes.
Have either of you ever been trolled?
No. I've never played WAFL.
Are you sure? You're not that David Paltrow from the Ford line?
No, let's not go there.
But look, I think the other thing too, I mean, this is slightly flippant, but I mean, there's that whole thing with social media and emails of tone. And there's possibly some of these nutcases out there who think they're either being funny or ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Or writing for each other.
Outdoing each other. And they possibly just don't, it just doesn't even occur to them. You know, they possibly have huge empathy issues, like, i.e. lack of.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
You are on 2SER 107.3, and this is The Vulture's Nest this morning with David T and Sean. We've been talking about the Herald Sun website's decision to shut down comments about AFLW, completely close them off because they were getting so many trolling comments. We've got a lighter story as well we'd like to share with you this morning. And before we do that, though, we're going to listen to a little bit of music. This is Shattered Winds by the Budos Band. You're on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas and music.
Have you ever wondered where Muji's clean, minimalist style comes from? Learn about the Japanese craft movement that influenced the likes of Muji and Marie Kondo at Seikatsu Kōge, Objects for Intentional Living, exhibiting at the Japan Foundation Gallery from February 21st to May 23rd. The Japan Foundation Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
Hi, I'm Craig Tanarski, Director of Casula Powerhouse Arts Centre in Liverpool, and here's some more great reasons for you to check us out over the next few weeks. Finishing up in our galleries, High Viz and Fresh Pair, where street culture hit the galleries with fashion, dance and sneakers. On until 19th of April, Pulse of the Dragon, contemporary Chinese artists coordinated by Guan Wei, and launching on Saturday the 7th of March at 2 p.m, A Familiar Place I've Never Seen. Artists Jomokan Jafari and Danny Kennedy interview Western Sydney residents about their dreams and interpret those dreams using Persian calligraphy and photography. See all this and more at casulapowerhouse.com, Facebook and Instagram.
The 40 Years of 2SER Interactive Exhibition is on now at the new UTS Library. Find out more about 2SER's people, guests, technical achievements, and at least some of its troublemaking past. And dig into the music scenes and social movements that 2SER helped shape and propel. The exhibition runs until Friday, March 27, and entry is free. The 40 Years of 2SER Exhibition, on now at the new UTS Library.
You are on 2SER 107.3 with Sean and T and David this morning in the Vulture's Nest. Earlier in the program, we were talking about the Herald Sun's decision to completely shut down comments about AFLW on their website, the Women's AFL League, because there were so many trolls and so many comments that were deemed completely socially unacceptable. A story that's perhaps a little bit lighter to balance that up. This is reported by ABC this week. Somebody very creatively using the social media site LinkedIn. So it's got a very much a business focus to it, a career focus. T, David, do either of you appear on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I better connect with you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. We might organise. Well, let's organise to do lunch. The story that's been reported, Kaylee Chu has used LinkedIn to great social advantage. She decided to battle her crippling shyness. She was very, very shy about people. She set herself a challenge to invite 100 people separately to have lunch with her. So that's 100 lunches, not one lunch with 101 people. And it's worked, and in fact, it's actually a great story. It's really fantastic. She works in finance in Melbourne. She decided on the number 100 because she thought it was realistic and was more likely to make an impact than just a handful of lunches, so committing to a sort of a longer-term goal rather than a short-term goal. She decided she couldn't do it every single day, but she thought if she wanted to get the result, the goal should be able to make a difference. So she began sending messages to people on LinkedIn, people from all walks of life, telling them that she had the goal, that she wanted to have lunch with 100 different people to learn more about other people and their experiences and broaden her own horizons and perhaps improve her own social skills. So she asked them to lunch. Only 10% of her invitations were accepted. So a lot of people just ignored the invitation, and some even got back to her, you know, declining, especially in the beginning. But I think once it got momentum and other people saw that, okay, she was genuine, perhaps relieved any fears they might have about getting trolled.
Catfished.
Yeah, yeah, there's some lunch in here. Yeah.
They probably had to book ahead.
So there's a great variety of people who replied, people who were business owners, electricians, teachers, engineers, graphic designers, IT programmers, and truck drivers. So Kaylee has said that nothing really happened during the first few lunches. She couldn't really make herself talk very much. But the same question kept coming up, how do you get the most out of life? So that was the question that she was most interested in.
Great question.
Yeah. So before we get to that great question, we might leave that teetering just before the last couple of minutes of the show. Because that's the sort of big questions we like to answer here on The Vulture's Nest.
It's a big question.
Is this something you would do, T? Or do you think?
I think it's a great idea, actually. I wish I thought of it myself.
Well, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, no, there isn't, actually. I'm like, this seems like a really good idea. Great networking move. And just how sweet is that? That she knew she had a problem and she thought of a creative way that was difficult for her initially to do. And it was. I think it's a great story. Yeah.
Has she got a book out of it? She makes speeches now.
Yeah,
possibly.
So it's
she wants to start up something, 100 Club. She's called, so maybe so more people. It's just smart. It's bright. It's incredibly brave. I'm not a shy person, so I'm lucky. But that would be hard. And as you read the article, you know, she started off with not much to say about herself because she hadn't done a lot. And I love the fact she's like, I used to go to work, go home, get on Facebook, play Candy Crush, go to bed, and repeat. And I, you know, that would be a sad kind of life that a lot of people do live. And if you're happy doing that, great for you. But there's a lot to be learned.
Was it Pink Floyd that called it Living Lives of Quiet Desperation?
I think they've ripped off T.S. Eliot.
Ah, yes, of course.
Only T.S. Eliot, okay. That guy.
Yeah.
David, do 100 lunches appeal to you for any reason whatsoever?
Look, I've got nothing against lunch.
One of your three favourite meals of the day?
It is. It's right up there. Always top ranking. And I think, well, the thought, okay, she's in finance, so she's probably got a designated lunch hour. So it's actually a doable thing.
Yeah.
She can, you know, provided she's not sort of snowed under with work, you know, she can put aside that time each day and give it over to another one of these kind of stranger dates that she's set up. It's it's like a really, really sensible thing. And clearly in her case, it worked. And I saw the clip where she had lunch with Shane Jacobson. And he was 200. So she kept doing it.
Yeah.
And, possibly doing it. What time is it now? She's possibly having another one.
No, just weekdays, I think.
Oh, just weekdays.
I'd love to reach out and go, can we go for lunch when I'm in Melbourne next? What an interesting story.
Okay, well, we're quickly running out of time. Let me hit you with the big question. How do you get more out of life?
Go to lunch with 100 people.
Get up earlier.
Okay. Okay, I'll throw mine in. Listen to 2SER 107.3.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You have been in the Vulture's Nest today with me, Sean Morahan, and my guests. Thank you very much to David Polterak.
Thank you, Sean.
And Tarina Taitea, thank you too.
Thank you.
Stay with us here on 2SER because coming up, as usual, on Saturday morning, we've got the best in arts, theatre, music, pop culture and all things creative. That's with So Hot Right Now. Nicole will be with you shortly at 11 o'clock. To take us through to the hour, let's just listen to a little bit of Ebony Eyes by Bullhorn. You're on 2SER 107.3.